This is the Hollywood Outsider, and welcome to our End of Summer Ho Awards. This is a special episode of our show where us hoes are going to go over the very best and the very worst of what we saw this summer on the big screen. Our regular episode will be out on Thursday, as always, so enjoy a little bonus offering to the Hollywood Outsider. My name is Aaron Peterson, and with me today are my fellow hoes, Scott Clark.
It's fun doing this for the second time.
It is. Like right after yesterday, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of podcasts. Brian Williams.
Back again.
And Justin Mokumber.
Feels like forever since I've seen you guys. What's going on?
You haven't seen us in forever, actually.
I don't think I've ever seen.
I was using seen in the, you know, a quote-unquote sort of way.
That's radio, but I'm using air quotes.
Right.
Well, as I said at the beginning, this is a Hollywood Outsider Summer Ho Awards. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the things we liked and didn't like about this summer. And then we're going to name our favorite movies of the year, as well as a few other special categories. Remember, you can always go to thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can subscribe to our regular episode, which airs every Thursday, at iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at thehollywoodoutsider.com. You'll find our podcast feed there. Throw it in your podcatcher. Listen to us every week. We often have special bonus edition episodes. That's enough of our yammering. Summer's over. Let's get to it. Here's the Hollywood Outsider Ho Awards. Before we get to the awards, what did you guys think of this summer's crop of movies versus past years?
For me, it was one of my favorites. Of all the films that came out, there were at least half a dozen that I would have rated 8 or better, and I think I did rate 8 or better. And even the ones following that were pretty good. Actually, this is how anally retentive I am. I went through and made a spreadsheet of the past about 6 years. And made a list of all the top films from each year. And this year has got the highest number, at least in my opinion, of really good movies. The only one that comes close recently is 2008 when it had The Dark Knight and Iron Man and all that. But this year is pretty fucking solid, especially considering last year.
I can't even remember. What were the really bad ones last year?
Well, last year there weren't a lot of bad ones, but there weren't a lot of really great ones.
There's
the
a lot
only
of mediocre.
Great was The Avengers. Mm-hmm. You know, you had Dark Knight Rises, which was good, but not quite the ending it could have been. And then...
Yeah, they left out Batman. That was kind of sad.
After that, there's just your Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunters, Snow White's and the Huntsman's, Bourne Legacy, but just nothing that really popped.
Yeah.
It was all right. Nothing bad. Really, you don't get terrible until 2011 with the Green Lantern and Cowboys and Aliens that were so disappointing.
Oh, I like Cowboys and Aliens.
Does that mean you're admitting that Green Lantern was bad?
I wished so much that it would have been better. I went back and rewatched it, and I was like, oh, this could have been better. Why is this not better?
Because it's $400 million dollars of special effects. Including Ryan Reynolds. That's why.
Pretty much.
Anyway, it's a solid summer. Very, very solid summer. And probably one of my favorites in recent record.
I think the quality was really good with the movies. But I didn't get as excited to go to the movies this summer as I did in years past. Even though the movies were not as good in the past. Does that make sense? Like, I didn't go to one midnight release this summer. There was nothing that I had to see at midnight.
No, I see what you're saying. So you weren't really gung-ho for a lot of
right.
The,
and I think
you still enjoyed them. But
I enjoyed them, absolutely. But I just think that, because I'm seeing more movies than I used to, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get as excited about it. Like, got to see that at midnight, 12:01. I'm okay waiting until Saturday or Sunday morning to go see it instead.
You make it sound so fun.
I think I did it like 3 times this summer.
Yeah, I did. Well, I didn't. Now they're doing like 8 and 10 o'clock because.
Which is nice, which is where I'd be right fucking now watching a certain film that came out this week.
Yeah.
That I'm here talking with you jerks.
Sure, we could have been seeing Riddick, but we're doing this for you. We gave up Riddick for you.
I gave up football.
That's true.
Yeah, I really can't think of any other year where just about every week for months there was a, quote-unquote must-see movie. Yeah, it's just it just seems like every week there was some sequel, there was some maybe brand new blockbuster tentpole type movie, and I mean, I don't know, probably from about mid-May through probably mid-July. It just kind of seemed like there was always something that you just had to see. So it was kind of neat. It's kind of a double-edged sword, but it was kind of neat.
Can I tell you something that I am sad about before we move on to the sequel stuff? You know, last year they had, and I know it's sad, but the Colorado incident. Well, because of that, they kind of phased out a lot of midnight shows. So that's why you're getting like 8 and 10 o'clock shows, because people don't shoot people at 8 or 10 o'clock, apparently. But
I don't start my shooting until at least 1.
Yeah, it really makes no sense if it's daylight out. I just don't see the point. But it really takes some of the fun out of it, because now you've got like 3 or 4 shows, so people aren't going to that midnight like Scott was talking about. There's so many other options now, and it takes some of the fun out of it. Like this summer, I think I went to 1 or 2 midnight shows, and I think it was like Fast and Furious and maybe something else, but it really killed it for me. Like going to that 10 o'clock, you don't get the...
Really?
Yeah, I didn't get any rabid fans. I didn't see one person dress up.
I must be getting old, because I'm like, 8 o'clock, great. Now I get home and go to bed.
Well, I was just going to say, there's a big difference, that 2 to 4 hour difference between 8, 10, and 12. Mm-hmm. You get a completely different crowd. The ones that go at midnight are dedicated.
The diehards.
Absolutely.
You know, the ones that go to 8 and 10 are like, just going
the easier
route.
What I'm saying
route.
Is they're not going now. They're going to the other shows. So they're spacing out because they can see the movie the night before, but they don't have to go at midnight. Right. Where that was kind of when it comes to box office dollars, I still say that's cheap, but whatever. Because it actually came out Thursday. I don't know how you count that as the weekend, whatever. But it takes away from that crowd because you don't get people concentrated in the area, dressing up like idiots, you know, wearing Vin Diesel masks or whatever. And
that stuff is so much fun.
That's part of the fun I love about
movies. No one's going to do that at 8 or 10 o'clock.
Nobody's going to do it anymore. I'm just going to that a-hole.
Diplomatic immunity. Just been revoked.
Okay, well, sequels are always a big part of any big summer, and this summer had a lot of them. So what'd you guys think of this year's crop of follow-ups? I mean, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, there was what, Iron Man 3, Fast 6, Star Trek, well, 2 or 12, depending on your
it really depends.
Point of view there.
Or 2.5, some people's perspective.
Right. It's Hangover 3. I mean, there's it's more, most of them obviously is the sequel or the second one. But there was a lot of 3 and like say 6. And I mean, a lot of ones that just went past the plain old sequel stuff. So for me, there were some really great ones like Star Trek Into Darkness, The Wolverine were probably two of the best sequels or follow-ups. But, I don't know. I think overall as a whole, though, I just really kind of felt, and this is just a generalization, really, just kind of an umbrella statement, but I really kind of felt the sequels really kind of lacked, kind of fell short of their respective predecessors.
Really?
Yeah.
Overall?
No, I'm not saying all of them sucked. I'm not saying anything like that. But it just, you know, I didn't think Iron Man really lived up to it. Fast and Furious didn't really live. While it was good, it was one of my favorite movies of the year. I didn't think it didn't grab me as much as the last one did.
I gotta disagree. I mean, I thought Iron Man 3 was better than 2. Fast 6 wasn't as great as 5 was, but it was no slouch. Star Trek Into Darkness I thought was better than the first one. The Wolverine was better than that earlier Wolverine films. So I don't know. I kind of thought most of them that I went to see at least stayed with their predecessors, if not exceeded them.
I mean, but there's like Kick-Ass 2, Red 2, Percy Jackson 2.
Oh, and see, and I didn't see all those.
VHS 2.
Avoided all that shit. Yeah, you're probably right, but my opinion skewed because I didn't watch that shit.
God, yeah. Red
and again,
two
I mean,
so
it's
bad.
It's an umbrella statement, really. It's not, you know, I'm not saying that every sequel sucked. I'm not saying anything like that. But just generally speaking, they just, I just don't think they lived up to them.
Those are two prime examples because Red and Kick-Ass, the twos, both could have been much better movies. Much better movies. And just wasted.
Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah, just wasted. I mean, Red I didn't like at all. But, I mean, Kick-Ass 2 was actually, had a lot of potential to be something special. It just didn't live up to it.
I am Iron Man.
All right, well, in episodes past, we talked about how the comic book genre has just exploded, and it hasn't stopped exploding, and it continues to explode. So did this summer wear you down, though, or is this getting you more excited? And I'm going to Scott because he's had concerns about this before.
Yeah, I'm the one that gets worried about oversaturation with comic book characters. But again, I'm in the minority of this particular group and a lot of people that didn't grow up reading the comic books. I experienced the comic book stories in the movies or in the cartoons growing up as a kid, not necessarily reading all the comics.
Makes you feel any better? A lot of people that say they read them didn't actually read them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a lot of the nerds. Yeah. They lie.
Well, at least I'm honest.
They fib.
So this summer, though, was a little bit different, especially with Superman Returns. I like the whole...
Man of Steel.
Man of Steel, sorry. Man of Steel. It was like doing a reboot of it, kind of like The Dark Knight did, and I really liked that take, and I just liked how visually stunning that movie was and just so much eye candy happening on the screen, and I dug that. And I kind of felt like that was missing from some of the others. Obviously, that was in Avengers, but there's been a lot of comic book movies that didn't have that. So I actually, this summer kind of got me a little bit more excited for it, especially with Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man coming out next summer, that kind of thing. You know, the rebooting is something that's really cool for me because, again, I'm familiar with those. I'm not familiar with the Ant-Mans and the...
Nobody is.
Well,
Nerd Poser.
No,
Nerd Poser.
Even the ones that we're talking about, it was the Guardians of the Galaxy. I have never heard of that stuff until you guys started
talking about it. I don't
know
either, Scott, to be honest.
For me, doing a reboot of something that I'm already familiar with is more exciting than introducing a new character that I don't have a whole lot of interest, but probably would later on. So I'm actually looking forward to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, and part of that is they're taking this genre a lot more seriously.
Right.
It's not just a campy, hey, we're going to throw some one or two famous people in here and some spandex and just kind of, just kind of roll through the, roll with it here. And
hey, fantastic.
Just kind of
Roy, how you doing?
Yeah. Dolph Lundgren doesn't show up with Lou Gossett Jr. randomly. Yeah,
exactly. Good. So, yeah, it's taken more seriously. It's a legitimate, genre now, and it's... I'm give me more. Give me more.
What's funny is, again, you can all benefit from my spreadsheet here. knowing this question was going to come up, I went through and actually looked at how many comic book movies were in this summer and then in summers past. This one's actually on par with previous summers. I mean, you had Iron Man, Man of Steel, The Wolverine, and Kick-Ass. And that was really about it. Last year, they had the Avengers, Dark Knight, and Amazing Spider-Man. But if you go back to 2008, there were five superhero films that came out that year. Dark Knight, Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Wanted, and Hellboy 2. So, and then the year after that, just one comic book film. So it seems to be every summer you're getting about three or four, and the quality just seems to keep rising and rising. So I get excited by that.
I am excited because they start bringing directors that seem to have a love for the material, and that to me will make better movies. And yeah, as long as they continue to do that and don't make like RIPD again, then I think we'll be okay. Then I can continue to be excited.
Today we face the monsters that are at our door.
This year had more big action movies than most I can remember, which is one of the things we'll be talking about. Yet a lot of them didn't make nearly what the studios thought they would. So here's just a few examples of movies that cost between $130 and $200 million to make. And that's before like marketing and all that other crap. So $130 to $200 million. Pacific Rim, $200 million, barely made $100 million. Now it did make $400 million overseas, but almost all that's from China. So it's not nearly what it needed to do to be seen as a huge hit.
Let me know when that check clears.
Lone Ranger, over $200 million Western, made $90 million here, and I think it's like $240 million overseas. Just ridiculous. White House Down, $130 million, $72 million is all it's made. And RIPD was $130 million, $33 million. So, do you guys think this has more to do with marketing, audience fatigue, or general lack of quality?
It depends on which movie you're talking about. They all faltered in their own unique ways. Pacific Rim, I blame that on America That film kicked ass.
Blame it on America.
I blame this on America not going out to see a quality film. But really, I mean, look at The Lone Ranger. Did The Lone Ranger need to be a big spectacle summer blockbuster movie?
No.
No, it didn't. And I think that people have grown a bit weary of everything suddenly having to be fucking huge with explosions and you know, massive derailments of trains or planes or automobiles. A lot of films, they just don't need that. And I think people don't want that. And then White House Down, I think part of it was competing against another film that was going to be coming out later of a similar, that came out earlier of a similar nature. And, you know, whether it's Deep Impact or Armageddon, one of those is going to win, one's going to lose. But all in all, there's just, it's like every week you were getting shocked and awed. And I think people do get a little weary of that after a while.
By the time, you know, by the time July hits, everybody's exhausted.
Yeah. My ears are still ringing.
What's interesting to me, though, is, because I agree with you, Justin, but why do these...
All right, woohoo! More!
But why do they do so well overseas? I mean, why is that audience receptive to these so much?
Well, I think for a lot of them, they like the American spectacle. And because a lot of the special effects in 3D is big overseas. So any movie that's big in spectacle and 3D seems to do well over there. And you look at Pacific Rim, it's doing well because it takes place in frickin' Hong Kong. I mean, it is a Chinese movie. They just threw a white guy in it. I don't know.
So they're like perpetually 20, 30 years behind us?
Yeah, and I think Hollywood is kind of like starting to bank on overseas more than America anymore. I mean, that's where they're getting a lot of the money. Yeah. But I guess
think it has anything to do with the digital nature of these movies. You know, now that they don't have to wait for prints to be shipped out to them, do you think that has anything to do with it?
I'm sure.
Maybe they're getting them faster.
I'm sure.
Maybe better quality.
So they can bootleg them quicker.
Do you think they're also Do you think they're also not getting blasted via the, you know, different forms of media as much as we are over here?
Yeah, that's very possible.
I mean, everywhere you turn around here in the States, there are some, it's, you know, Pacific Rim, Pacific Rim, Pacific Rim. You know, over there, I don't want to make any bad stereotype generalizations or anything, but
I'll do it. Tell me what they are.
you know, they know it's coming to them. So obviously there's, you know, there are commercials and everything going on, but I just don't think the majority of the countries over there is just, I just don't think that they're being inundated with it as much as we are.
They're making money. And honestly, I think Iron Man 4 was, or 3, 2.4, whatever the hell it is. Iron Man 3 was so successful overseas because it made like $800 million overseas, just overseas. It crossed 1.2 billion worldwide. I think that one was so successful because it seemed more of a sequel to Avengers than it did to Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have been nearly as successful if Avengers wouldn't have done so well.
Right.
You guys agree with that or you disagree with that?
I don't know, man. Iron Man's pretty popular.
Yeah, sure.
Now, Brian, so you're saying that you think marketing actually hurts the sales of these films?
Yeah, I'm kind of confused what you're saying, Brian.
I think that we're just on everything. Yeah, exactly. It's you pull up an app on your iPhone, there's a banner that's advertising, and I'm just throwing out Pacific Rim because that's the one, or Man of Steel. I forget the actual number. Man of Steel had something like, I don't know, like 100 different advertising partners,
mm-hmm.
you know? But everywhere you turn around, like say you pull up your phone, you know, there's an app, there's a banner that's an advertising banner that's on it. You pull up a website, everywhere you go, there's the little box on the side of your screen that's, you know, got an advertisement for Man of Steel or Pacific Rim, whatever the flavor of the week is. You know, of course, anything you watch, if you're into those shows, chances are any show that's on TV that's any portion related to it, it's going to have commercials for it.
Well, I got to think that they would have the same kind of thing, the same kind of oversaturation in other countries. I mean, they want to make their money, and obviously they're making money.
I mean, I'm not saying they're not advertising over there, but what I'm saying is I don't think that it's as much in your face over there as it is here. So, like Justin says, we're a little bit, you know, by the time the movie finally gets to us, you're ass whipped. and you're just like, you know, you're either going because you feel like you have to at this point, or either you're not going and you're just, you know, tired of it. You've seen all the highlights and you just, well, shoot, I'll just wait till video.
They're eating her. and then they're going to eat me. Oh my God!
Internet trolls. Those people that troll the internet, they always seem to think they know better than everybody else on the planet. And so many of the most buzzed about films, the movies you hear about on the internet every single week, where a lot of them were not major hits, Pacific Rim, The World's End, those sorts of ones. So I want to know if we can finally agree that internet buzz is not a good indicator of either success nor quality.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one margin for success, and that's money. And you need a lot more than a bunch of fanboys who's writing blogs in their mama's basement, or either a bunch of wannabes who host podcasts, or wait.
That's
a little too close to home. So I don't know. It's just you got to have, you know, they've got to have a mass appeal, you know, and of course the backbone is the fanboys and that kind of stuff. So while they are the most passionate, they are, unfortunately, they are usually a minority. Mm-hmm. And they're also the most vocal. So yeah, I mean, everybody's got an opinion, and nowadays everybody can kind of force it on you.
I want to know, when did it become okay for people just to bash the shit out of movies and they've never seen them? I was telling Justin this. I read a lot of like best and worst lists because, you know, movie critic, reviewer, whatever we are. I like to be informed what other people think, because just in case I miss something, because there's a lot of small movies that make it come through. And I read at least three different ones where they actually had on their worst list movies that they had not actually seen. Now, don't get me wrong. We make fun of like Smurfs 2 and that kind of shit. But how can you, in good conscience, actually sit there and actually write an article and profess it to be, this is my best and worst of list, and name several that are on the worst list that you haven't actually seen?
Right.
I just don't understand how you can do in good conscience and do that. And integrity. There's no integrity in that. Am I wrong, or am I just being a whiny bitch?
No, more you're absolutely so than right. I mean, I don't. That's why when I did my list, I didn't include on the worst list anything that I hadn't seen, even though I'd heard no end of bad things about certain films. I hadn't seen them. I can't verify that. And there have been a lot of examples of people, of movies people hated that I ended up loving. Speed Racer being one just right off the top of my head. So I don't base my opinions or you know, my speculation on other people's opinions. I've got to see it for myself, and I wish more people would stop talking out their ass.
And stop jumping on board just to feel like they can be one of the guys or whatever. I see a lot of people that just jump on this hate wagon. Lone Ranger was a prime example of one where it hadn't even come out yet, and people were saying how awful it was. Just going on and on about how awful it was. And it's just like, how do you know? You haven't seen it? You have not seen it. I just don't understand that level of hate.
Wasn't World War Z getting a lot of the same type
the
same type of bad press? And it wasn't, you know, yeah, there were some stories about issues with production and the story and that kind of stuff. But like I say, like 3 or 4 months before the movie even comes out, people are going, oh, this is horrible. This is bad. How do you fucking know that?
Yeah, but the difference between World War Z and Lone Ranger is after they actually saw the movie, there's positive reviews about World War Z. People still didn't like Lone Ranger overall.
I did, but I'm a minority
overall,
in that group. Yeah,
I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, it's just out of hand. I'm just tired of going on the internet and you go to read a review, because I read a lot of reviews. If it's something that, you know, because some critics will see it several weeks before it comes out, they'll be at a festival or something. So I'll read that just to see what it is exactly in depth. And then you go to the comments and you see all these little trolls that have to say every hateful thing. I'm just sick of it. Give it a chance. Go see it. And then if you don't like it, then I'm fine with that.
It's hip to be a hater.
Yeah, I don't.
That's why I don't read the comments either. I mean, reading comments is a recipe for heartbreak. You just can't do it. There's too many people out there that feel like everyone else needs to know just how vicious of a person they can be. And so, you know, if you want to see how bad it is, just go to Ain't It Cool, take a random topic, head down to the talk back, and then just feel your hatred for humanity rise.
It's sickening. Especially when the comments, you don't have to have your real name, or you just have a username.
Oh, yeah. The anonymity is the worst ones.
Yeah.
It's like working customer service. Nobody calls customer service to say, hey, you know what? I really love this product. You guys do a great job. It's always somebody who's pissed off and just and wants to vent and whatever, you know. And that's what those people are in the comments. They just hammer it, and then there's that random person that says, you know what, hey, it was good for these reasons, and then they just get, you know, bullied out of the freaking thread. So
let me get this straight. You three are actually in agreement with me that we all need to be, the people need to be more positive. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Either be positive or just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Get shot.
Yeah. I'm not saying you can't not like something, because if someone deserves to not be liked, then it deserves to not be liked. I don't think everybody needs to be loved, Scott. Not everybody's a good person. I'm sorry. There's a lot of bad things.
It gets sickening, though, when people, you know, don't like something. You like it, and then they're all, well, prove me wrong. How am I wrong? Well, most of it's just opinion. I can't prove your opinion wrong. It's yours. You have it.
He's tried.
You know, I've tried. Everybody's tried. And it's a loser's game, because quite often you're trying to prove a negative, and you just can't do it.
Right.
It's all a matter of opinion. But when you've got a bunch of screaming jackasses talking about how bad something is, it's really hard to step in and be a voice of positivity, because then they just turn their, you know, hackles to you, and, you know, all of a sudden you're getting beat up.
Yeah,
that's why I avoid that shit entirely.
Well, I don't know about entirely, but you avoid it occasionally.
Mostly, until you bring shit up.
Yeah, it's all my fault.
Welcome to Earth.
This year, more than any other I can think of, there seem to be a lot more of the blockbuster spectacle type things than anything. Do you guys think that where this summer failed just a little bit was the sheer lack of smaller, more grounded movies?
I hate to say too much of a good thing, but I almost feel that way about this summer. There was, I think Brian mentioned it earlier, there was always something to see every weekend for several weeks. Some huge, huge blockbuster. There was just too many big budget ones. There was never like a, hey, let's go check out the underground one, or I don't know. There weren't too many that it, I mean, maybe.
If you're going to spend your $10.
Right.
You know, you want to spend it on, ooh, ah.
Yeah. And that kind of oversaturated me a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, you kind of need that break, that maybe there's a thriller that opens one weekend that, you know, again, it probably cost about $25 million to make or something like that.
Right.
You know, and it's just kind of, you need that, you know, sugar is great, tastes great, but you don't need a whole lot of it. You know,
I kind of feel like
salt is good too, but it's like everything in moderation, you know. And I think you really kind of hit the nail on the head. What it was almost too much of a good thing. And like I said, on one hand, I love that, but the other hand, you know, it just kind of waters down the whole summer as a whole.
But there was something else though that we saw, at least that I noticed more this year than any other, and that was a number of smaller films. Well, some of those. But the number of films that actually debuted online first, and most of those were smaller films. And I think that, you know, in an environment where smaller films are getting squeezed and squeezed more and more, heading to online, you know, getting some of those download dollars first, maybe building some positive word of mouth there before trying the theaters, is something you're going to be seeing more and more and more of.
I'll tell you what, I've been burned a minimum of twice this year by those, maybe three times.
I'm not saying they're all good films.
And they're small for a reason.
Yeah, the little films are heading there. And it's probably just going to get more and more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of feel like I missed out on some movies that I wanted to see this summer just because I always had to go see the bigger one instead. Not that I had to. I understand that. But like you said, if you're
going to... Nobody made you go, man.
If you're going to... No. Yeah, I mean...
But a lot of those movies work best on the big screen. That funny comedy that you might have wanted to see was, you know, well, I can wait till next week, or either I'll just wait till it comes out on Blu-ray.
Exactly. That's
Redbox.
Kind of what I'm saying.
All right. That's fair enough. All right. Well, before we move on, let's talk about box office real quick. I didn't put this in your notes, but I figure before we do the awards, we'll give you what the top 10 movies of the summer were. So apparently this is what people thought were the best movies of the summer. So we'll see if you guys agree with it.
We're not people.
We're not people. We're special. Iron Man 3 was number one, $408 million. That's like $100 million more than the last Iron Man.
So this is just U.S.?
This is just U.S. Yeah, I'm not doing worldwide because it gets all screwy. Despicable Me 2, $355 million. That's actually a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. Man of Steel was third, $290 million. That makes Justin and Brian squee. Monsters University, $264 million. Fast and Furious 6, $238 million. And I just want to point out, it's the sixth movie and the biggest one in the franchise.
What?
How is that possible?
That's the power of the Vin.
Yeah, Vin. Well, we'll find out this weekend. Star Trek Into Darkness, $228 million. That's the one sequel that everybody thought was going to be a lot bigger than it was because it made less than the previous movie. But it still did pretty good. World War Z, $200 million. The movie that everybody thought was going to flop did not. The Heat was number 8 at $157 million, which I thought that was really funny. And
That was funny.
Yeah, The Great Gatsby, $144 million. That was another one people thought were going to flop. I even said way back when, this is dumb to move that to summer. That movie will never be. I was wrong. Happens occasionally. And number 10, The Conjuring. Very rare you see a horror movie in the top 10. $134 million.
And that was one that got more, after the word of mouth, it got popular, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The first weekend.
Yeah. I mean, it had a big opening, but horror movies historically like drop right after the opening weekend. They just plummet, and it held on every weekend. So,
is that good word of mouth?
All right, Ho Awards. You guys ready? You ready to pick your favorites?
Yeah.
There's
gonna be a lot of overlap.
Round of applause. I don't care. It's your favorite.
No, I know. I'm just, that's a good
trust thing. Me, if anybody picks whatever Justin has picked before it gets to Justin, he will pick something else.
That's true.
Right.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
All right. So here we go. First one. Best action sequence of the summer. What was the one that got your blood boiling?
Every damn fight in Pacific Rim. All of them were rockin' sockin' robots against big-ass lizard-looking monsters. They were all spectacular. That is my answer.
And I don't think any of us thought it would be anything else.
Mm-mm, so, not really.
I'll tell you what, mine was the train fight from The Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. The bullet train sequence.
Yeah, the bullet train. The fight on top of it, that was just the best top of the train fight sequence I've ever seen. I thought that was fantastic.
That's because 90% of them suck.
Yeah. My favorite was also from Pacific Rim, but rather than picking the whole movie, I will narrow it down to one. I in particular liked the scene where the Jaeger picked up a big cargo ship and used it
made
like
a
baseball bat and just... I wanted to stand up on my chair and cheer when I saw that. It was so cool.
And that was one of the things, like, you know, you had seen it 100 times on the commercials leading up to the movie, but
and
even though it still worked.
Yep.
Steal an ounce of that energy.
Yep. Nope.
My favorite was also the bullet train sequence in The Wolverine. So I'm with you, Brian.
Sweet.
Yep. My heart pounded more during that scene than anything else I saw this summer. And it's only like 5 minutes. It's probably the shortest action sequence of anything I saw, but I just loved it. Everything about it, I loved it.
Well, especially, and I think what really made it was the little fake that Wolverine does. If you remember what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, you know.
Gotcha. So.
Well, that, and I love the using forward momentum to propel himself around like he's flying. I mean, I just thought that was a genius way to use that and use his claws as basically brakes. I thought was just well shot, well played.
I'm a hero of the new world.
You're a disease, and I'm the cure.
All right, best new character of all the films out this summer. Which one had a new character that stuck with you the most?
It's actually kind of a four-way tie. The Four Horsemen from Now You See Me.
Oh, okay.
You can't really pick one of them because I.
Pick three, but not Dave Franco. I can do that because
Isla Fisher. Yes,
group them as a group.
Okay,
you know
why those four? Why them?
It was just the chemistry, the comedy, the smarts, just the way they all interacted together. I just really thought it was. I just really loved it, and it was just a big part of why the movie really worked.
All right, Scotty.
For me, Owen from The Way, Way Back, played by Sam Rockwell.
Oh, yeah, he was so good.
I loved that character. Just all around. He was sarcastic and funny, but he had heart at the same time. Good, like almost like a father figure. I liked him a lot.
Yeah, that was very sweet. Mine was Mud. Matthew McConaughey, Mud. He's just haunted, lost, really odd. He's really attached to his shirt for some reason.
What?
You have to see it. He's really attached to his shirt. It just proves to me, McConaughey continues to impress me as one of the best actors out there. And I thought Mud was the proof because the whole movie is him. And if he doesn't work, the movie doesn't work. And he's just stuck on an island, on a river with a boat and a tree, and a little boy helps him. That's really the movie. And it's just one of those quiet performances that just, I loved it. Loved it.
Now, do you think he is kind of graduated into that very, very small group of the big time actors, the movie stars that you actually just go just to see him?
Yes.
Because lately he does so many just versatile roles at this point that, I mean, I would do that.
And what's funny is I became like a McConaughey, not a hater, but I don't want to see that movie because he did so many of those crappy romantic comedies that just weren't good. And that's all he was doing for a while, just taking paycheck.
Failure to launch.
Yeah.
Failure to act.
Paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. That's what he was doing.
And Fool's Gold, wasn't it?
And I really liked like A Time to Kill and a couple of his other movies. But overall, he was just that actor that just took the paycheck. I mean, he was doing the same thing Affleck did, really. But he took a page out, stood back and said, I'm going to start taking more challenging roles. I'm going to stop taking them for the money. I don't think he's taking like a real big payday movie role until Interstellar he's shooting now with Chris Nolan. Because, I mean, you know, Magic Mike, Mud, a lot of the other stuff, Dallas Buyers Club, that's not going to be a big hit. So, I mean, he's the character actor that I'm watching. He's the guy that I really look to win an Oscar in the next 5 years if he continues to do this. Justin?
Yeah, you know, I looked over all the movies, but the one that really stuck out to me the most was Yukio The Wolverine.
She was
played by Rilo Fukushima. Never have seen this woman before. This is apparently her first movie. And really, she almost, you know, she came really close to stealing every scene she was in. She had a nice vulnerability to her, but there was also like a punk rocker aspect to her. And I really wish that she would appear in maybe her own films or future X-Men films. She more than deserves it.
I would like to see a partnership, like another Wolverine movie, and they're just partners.
Like Wolf and Cub or something, you know. These two heading out. Oh, you guys aren't anime fans. But, you know, these two just striking out and bringing some fucking justice to the world.
I'll swallow your soul!
Come get some.
All right, sequels. We talked about that earlier. What sequel didn't need to happen?
I'm going to say The Internship. Because let's be honest, that was a sequel to Wedding Crashers.
Fair enough.
I don't even know if I can argue that. Or a remake, one of those. Mine's a Hangover 3, and if you saw it, you understand exactly what the problem was.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. How the first one was so good. The second one, I liked it more than most people did, but it still didn't match up to the first. And this last one, it's like it didn't even know what kind of movie it wanted to be half the time.
It still doesn't.
It's pretty
sad. They
just
should have stuck with the first, let that one have the glory forever, and not sully its memory with these other two movies.
It's pretty sad that the funniest scene in the movie is after the credits.
Yeah. That's the first. I said this when I reviewed it. First 15 minutes are good. Well, the ending after the credits is great. Everything in between sucks.
Yep.
Speaking of Sully, I would say Monsters University.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was a good one.
That was good.
it's just one of those that's way. I know it did well, but when you factor in the fact that, you know, it's not just mom and dad going to see this movie, they're probably taking their two or three kids, maybe some cousins, maybe some friends, whatever. There's probably no less than a group of four that has ever gone to see that movie this summer.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't like it?
I just said it didn't need to happen. I didn't go.
Okay, fair enough.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Okay, what was the most memorable line? Your favorite line in a movie? And I guess I go first on this one. My favorite movie line of the summer was Tony Stark in Iron Man 3. I just stole a poncho from a wooden Indian. I have no idea why, but every time I hear it, it makes me laugh. Every time. Justin?
Mine was Hermione just stole all our shit. from This Is the End.
Nice. Good call.
Danny McBride delivered that so perfectly.
I'm going back to Iron Man 3 myself, but it's a little bit different. Tony Stark, when he's talking to the kid, he says, "Hey, Dad's leave. No need to be a pussy about it."
I forgot about that.
Caught me so off guard. I actually laughed out loud. So that was that would probably be one of my best lines.
I can't believe I made the last of the pack here, and none of you said mine, because I was certain one of you were going to.
All right.
Mine is from Pacific Rim, "We are canceling the apocalypse."
Aww.
I thought that was awesome. It was cheesy. It was
moving.
Awesome.
It was moving.
I liked it.
But I don't know. I really love the poncho line. I don't know why. Because it doesn't. It's really only funny in context. It's not even funny when you tell people, "Man, that was so funny." And they just look at you like, "All right. Cool, man."
Which do you think, though, was cheesier? The canceling the apocalypse or "This is our Independence Day"?
I don't know. The apocalypse.
This
probably.
Is our Independence Day. Like, gave me goosebumps as a kid. So
yeah. Really,
yeah.
In retrospect, though, it's like a little.
No, I still buy that one over.
Yeah,
over
because
the
it's the exclamation point on a pretty good speech that he gives.
It was a pretty good speech.
It was. Yeah, I got to go with that.
Would you tell us the nature of your relationship with Mr. Boz?
I had sex with him for about a year and a half. I liked having sex with him. He wasn't afraid of experimenting. I like men like that. Men who give me pleasure.
Sexiest moment. You know what I'm saying. Sexiest moment. What was the sexiest moment of the summer, Justin? You can't include any private time.
You know, what's interesting is when I saw this was coming up, I racked my brain, pardon the pun, trying to figure out what was a sexy moment. And there were, at least in the films I saw, you know, other than the stuff on YouPorn, not a lot of sexy moments.
Oh, if you plunge your brain, you can think of something deep.
Well, but the one that I could remember actually caused a bit of controversy that I don't know if we talked about it or not. I think we did. I still think the controversy was over. It was stupid, but it was Alice Eve just standing half naked in that shuttle. It was a 2-second glimpse. Why people wanted to howl about it, I still don't know. But she was without doubt the sexiest moment for me in this summer.
She was pretty freaking sexy. I can't deny that.
Yeah, that tended to like pop up on a lot of websites. Like I say, it was only like a 1 or 2 seconds, but all of a sudden, you know, it's on like anything talking about Star Trek. That was it. Yep. Forget Benedict Cumberbatch, forget Chris Pine, all that other, you know, all the other big name people. It's her in her, you know, in her undies.
Have you seen her in her undies? That's far more interesting than Chris Pine and Benedict Cumberbatch.
You will not get an argument from me. It's a good man. So,
what about you, Brian?
Speaking of chicks in her undies, I'll go with Jennifer Aniston from We're the Millers.
Oh, yep.
Oh, I wish I'd seen that. Then I could have put that.
That was mine as well. You don't get much sexier than that.
No.
She's not old, but she's not young.
She looks pretty freaking good for, yeah. And I'm not even a Jennifer Aniston fan, and I see what you're saying. I hear what you're laying down.
Steamy.
I'm saluting what you're putting up the flag bowl.
Yeah, raise the flag. My sexiest moment was Rally and Mako's sparring match in Pacific Rim.
And
not so much because it's overly sexual. It's because they didn't objectify or sexualize her. And to me, that's just so much hotter than some chick just standing there in her underwear. And I liked it.
I'm surprised.
Oh, I liked it.
Sorry. I'm more a visual person.
Yeah. Well, I got an imagination, brother. You're surprised about what?
I'm surprised. I figured it would have been the moment you realized that the girl from the way back was actually like 19 or something like that.
That was a good one. Yeah, I liked that one. Because I was feeling really uncomfortable for a while. What about most overhyped movie? This is the movie where either everybody's talking about it, all the critics love it, whatever it is, or the internet is a buzz. But then you saw it and you're like, what? That's it?
You know, I looked over the list of films that I saw, and I don't know if it's just because I consciously avoid movies that I think are going to suck, but I didn't see personally any films that I would consider overhyped or overrated. In fact, there were a couple that I thought should have gotten more hype and more attention, but I didn't see anything that was overrated, but I didn't see nearly as many movies as I think you did, Aaron. You have to have a pretty lengthy list.
I just picked one, but Scott?
I'm honestly in the same boat as Justin. If I had to come up with one, I would say pick a movie that I didn't like as much as the rest of everybody mm-hmm. else. And with as much money as it made and everybody raved about how ridiculous it was, Fast and Furious 6. I liked the movie, but I didn't love it like a 9 or 10. Like a lot. Mm-hmm. I think you guys gave it like an 8 or
eight,
something.
Yeah.
And it was crazy, but I just thought I thought 5 was so much more fun and more over the top in a different tongue-in-cheek kind of way. This one just seemed to be going more towards the Expendables route. And
too over the top is what you're saying.
Right. It was too
like
over the
Stallone
top.
Like Stallone over the top.
Right. So, and again, that's not saying I didn't like it, because I'm in the same boat as Justin. I didn't see very many movies that I didn't want to. Mm-hmm. So,
well, mine's This Is the End.
Oh, you suck.
Fuck that movie. I love all the little geekies telling me how wrong I am because I didn't like it. But that shit is overrated.
You just cannot get past your hatred for Danny McBride and probably Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen was actually fine in that movie. It's just, it's overrated. It was, when it was funny, it was really funny, but there's like a half hour of the fucking movie.
There's not. It is funny every fucking minute.
No, it's not.
Guys, you don't get it.
Guys.
That's all.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Guys, I will watch the movie. I will decide.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Thank you. You can tell me if my opinion's correct. Fuck Danny McBride.
I got to go with the comedy also. I'll say Hangover 3.
Yeah.
So it just didn't.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to latch on to Brian's answer.
Right as curtails?
Yeah, it just.
Curtails.
You know, it was one of those. It's, I don't know. Maybe I said, well, I wasn't impressed with 2. It was kind of like, first one was good. Second one, didn't like it so much. Third one, you know, I heard some positive, a lot of positive stuff about it. I said, I'll give it a shot, go in with an open mind, and was like, damn, you got me again.
Like Charlie Brown.
That's it.
This is going to have to be me alone.
It's not that simple. The crew we're after, they hit like thunder and disappear like smoke. You going alone, you won't ever touch them. Been chasing this guy across 4 continents and 12 countries, and believe me, the last damn place I want to be right now is on your front doorstep selling Girl Scout cookies.
All right. Well, every year we get some big bad dudes and dudettes. So this year, who is the biggest, baddest mother out there for you?
Well, there's one easy answer, but I'm going outside the box here, and I'm going to say Hugh Jackman as the Wolverine, because I think even he could take The Rock.
Ooh. Nice. I like it.
I actually had the same pick. There's very few movies where I see a guy all muscled up and stuff, and I just sit there and go, holy crap. And
he made you want to work out.
He really did. He made me want to hit the gym like immediately after walking out of that theater.
I was doing sit-ups.
Did you guys miss The Rock in Fast 6?
What's that? I think Jackman looked better.
I think Jackman looked better as far as... The Rock is just like just a wall.
Yeah.
He's just...
He can't move very fast.
And the things that he did in that movie looked so unbelievable, where he's like hulking everybody through walls and stuff like that. Everything in...
Cement walls, by the way.
Cement walls.
Not drywall. Cement walls.
You know, with the Wolverine, we have that suspension of disbelief that he's got this ability to heal and he has mm-hmm. claws in his hands. But outside of that suspension, I bought it. I didn't buy The Rock, so...
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Plus, seriously, The Rock, all you got to do is outrun him. The Rock cannot run fast. If you can outrun him, you'll be fine. Jackman's got that build where he can move fast yep. and he's ripped. So yep.
And he can sing.
And he can sing. Yeah, he could sing while he's beating your silly ass.
I'll tell you that. I
feel
that
pretty.
That, I love that picture that Scott sent us a few weeks ago where it shows Hugh Jackman as Wolverine in the first X-Men.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And then Hugh Jackman as Wolverine in this last one, and it's just...
It's like he is reverse aging.
Yeah.
He's Benjamin Buttoning it out.
Seriously, we were impressed with him in that first X-Men movie, like
oh, yeah.
how ripped he was.
Yeah.
It makes him look like
nothing.
I mean,
nothing. Every time, it's just not fair, because I'll never catch up to that. And he's older, asshole.
You could get a DeLorean, go back in time, and still not catch up with
There's
him.
Not enough chicken breast to catch up to that. It's just not... My pick, and I'm actually surprised I was picking it, but Superman. and Man of Steel. I was shocked that I thought he was the biggest, baddest motherfucker this year.
That's a good one.
They reinvented him as a badass. And if you doubt it, he destroyed pretty much 50 square miles all by his lonesome without blinking an eye.
Millions of people dead because of Superman.
Hey. He had to stop bad guys.
You got to do it. He ain't a bitch anymore.
You got to break a couple eggs.
So I would say if you saw him coming, he's the one I would get the fuck out of the way from. I don't care how goody two-shoe you think he used to be. He's turned a corner. He's snapping necks, man. He's not putting up with shit. What about you, Justin?
Well, I went a little more literal with this. My biggest badass, Gypsy Danger. That tall-ass robot kicking ass from beginning to end. Even when you think it's down after, well, for those who made... are we still avoiding spoilers on that thing? Anyway, that some bitch was a big badass.
In Pacific Rim?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just checking.
Was there another Gypsy Danger?
I just wanted to hear you say the title one more time.
Pacific Rim, Gypsy Danger, cargo ship as a bat, or I saw it more as a sword, but either way, bashing big monsters over the fucking head. They don't get much bigger or badder than that.
They do not.
I have a bad feeling about this.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I have a really bad feeling about this.
It's a very bad feeling about this.
All right, what about the biggest surprise? What was your biggest surprise this summer? Like, you were shocked.
For me, the biggest surprise was Now You See Me, but not because I was surprised at how good the movie was. I was surprised because it came out of nowhere for me. I didn't even hear about it until a couple weeks before it hit the theater. And I was like, where did this movie come from? And I really liked it. So that was a big surprise for me. What about you, Aaron?
Mine's The Lone Ranger. Honestly, and the reason it's my biggest surprise is because it was getting like Ishtar levels of hate. Everybody was just saying how awful it was. Reviews were awful. People bashed it nonstop. Of course, most of the people had never actually seen it, like I said. But then I saw it, and it is a little bloated, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a nice, fun movie. Johnny Depp didn't ruin my childhood at all. It reminded me a lot of my childhood. My grandpa watched the series when I was a kid. Johnny Depp was very equal with screen time. The ending. Has anybody else seen it yet, or am I the only one?
I saw it.
Did you like it?
It was okay. I didn't like it as much as you did, but I didn't think it was terrible.
No, it's not worth it.
It was a little long.
It was a little long. But the ending has like the best rendition of the theme song I could think of.
It really does.
And it's just a fantastic ending. And I'm just sick of people that have to backlash stuff they've never seen. So, Lone Ranger. Damn it.
Very good. For me, the biggest surprise was World War Z. You know, I really did not expect this film to work. The production had been plagued by some problems. And to have it come out and not only be good, but be really good, shocked the shit out of me.
I have to ride on his coattails with this one also, because it was just the way that it was just a hell of a ride. You know, it was emotional, a lot more emotional than I anticipated. Again, I guess maybe the expectations were, you know, really low after all the, you know, we talked about earlier about the rumors and the rewrites and the critical harshness on it and all that kind of stuff. It just, to have it, you know, I thought Brad Pitt did well. I thought it was just overall, it just really worked. Everything they did, it wasn't just zombies running up, you know, walls and that kind of stuff. So it was the quieter
moments that were quite often the best.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You just couldn't let me go, could you? This is what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object. You truly are incorruptible, aren't you? Huh? You won't kill me out of some misplaced sense of self-righteousness. And I won't kill you because you're just too much fun.
All right, best villain. Which character just made you wish you were Han and shot first? The white cops in Fruitvale Station, sorry. Benedict Cumberbatch in Star Trek Into Darkness. That's my pick for best villain. Cold eyes, steel gaze. That voice just melts butter. You hear him and you know he's coming. I would get the fuck out of his way too. So, Benedict Cumberbatch. Justin?
For me, Satan's cock. at the end of This Is the End. I mean, that was a pretty good villain.
Shut up.
But if you want something a little more serious, Kruger in Elysium, played by Charlotte Copley.
Oh, good call.
He was just brutal the whole way through. I knew the guy had it in him, but to just see him take that screen and just make it all his bitch was really fun to watch.
Wow, yeah, he was good. And
but I don't know if he could have handled Satan's cock, though. Because that thing was big and swinging.
Jesus. I love him.
Actually, I loved it, but...
No, that's the line from the movie. With Danny McBride's little fella. I don't want to say it, but don't want to spoil it. Brian?
I'm going to go with the Mandarin from Iron Man 3.
Really?
I really like what they did with this character.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Not so much because he was just the biggest, baddest, raw, scariest villain of any movie I saw this summer, but what they did with him was such a big surprise. It was like, oh, shit. So,
Good call. I didn't even think of that.
It made him more memorable, I guess, than some other villains.
It definitely got people talking. Scotty?
I'm actually with Aaron on this one. Benedict Cumberbatch is Khan. Because not only, like you said, the gaze and the voice and that kind of thing, but the first time you're introduced to him, he's doing an action scene. And I was shocked to see Benedict Cumberbatch do a hardcore action scene like that, and he sold it.
Oh, yeah.
And I just liked him from start to finish in that movie. So yeah.
I just love the way he enunciates when he just focuses on a word.
I feel like I need to explain just real quickly. The only reason I didn't pick him, given my love for that film and for BC, I didn't really consider him to be the villain of the movie so much as old RoboCop.
Oh, you were wrong then, because he's definitely...
He was a villain, but I actually understood why he did what he did, and so...
So we didn't get it?
I gave him a pass. That's why I didn't mention him.
That's your way of getting an honorable mention. That's what I'm thinking.
No.
All right.
I got my honorable mention. Satan's Wang.
I think I want my money back. What are you going to do, strong-arm me? You know, I think that you got the wrong impression about me. I think in all fairness, I should explain to you exactly what it is that I do. For instance, tomorrow morning I'll get up nice and early, take a walk down over to the bank and walk in and see you, and if you don't have my money for me, I'll crack your fucking head wide open in front of everybody in the bank. And just about the time that I'm coming out of jail, hopefully, you'll be coming out of your coma. And guess what? I'll split your fucking head open again. Because I'm fucking stupid. I don't give a fuck about jail. That's my business. That's what I do. And we know what you do, don't we, Charlie? You fuck people out of money and get away with it.
You can't talk to me like
that. Hey, you fat Irish prick. You put my fucking money to sleep. You go get my money or I'll put your fucking brain to sleep.
Before we get to our top five summer movies, worst summer film. The worst summer film. And why? Not just overhyped. It's just bad or the movie you like the least. Well, you'd probably never watch it again. Justin?
Oh, fuck. After Earth. The reason? M. Night Shyamalan. That's really all that needs to be said. That movie was just boring. So boring. Could have been good. Boring.
Jaden Smith wasn't that good.
Oh, but neither Smith brought any kind of A or B game to this film. It was just so boring.
Yeah, I still haven't seen that one yet. I would love to mention that one, but I can't in good conscience do it.
Good man.
Let me ask you this. Can I name a movie that wasn't a big tentpole type?
Yeah. If it came out this summer.
It's any movie, bro.
All right. Well, it's really a tie with VHS 2 and Only God Forgives with Ryan Gosling. Those two just absolutely horrible. Can't give them a low enough score.
I think you should give it to Ryan Gosling just so you can have 2 years running.
Of the worst movie. There you go.
That's a very good point. Only God Forgives for tenure.
tenure
reasons.
All right, Scotty.
Mine was The To-Do List. Comedy I was really looking forward to seeing. I was just utterly disappointed. Had a couple laughs, but just overall made a good trailer. Not a good film.
Oh, fair enough. Mine's Hangover 3. Easily. I didn't even have to think about that one. Worst movie I saw this year. Not even just the summer. This year. Worst movie I saw. how you make those guys go from that and then make me want to leave the theater for the third one, it's beyond me. And I actually, if I could go back and change my score from the 4 I gave it originally, I would mark it down to like a 2. Fuck that movie.
Let me explain what's happening here. You are a criminal. I watched you murder innocent men and women. I was authorized to end you. And the only reason why you are still alive is because I am allowing it. So shut your mouth.
Captain, you're going to punch me again over and over till your arm weakens. Clearly you want to, so tell me. Why did you allow me to live?
We all make mistakes.
No. I surrender to you because, despite your attempt to convince me otherwise, you seem to have a conscience, Mr. Kirk. If you did not, then it would be impossible for me to convince you of the truth.
All right, now let's go to our top 5 summer movies, our top 5 favorite movies of the summer. We're each going to do our top 5. So, Brian, what are your top 5 movies of the summer? And this summer constitutes May 1st through August 31st, because some people might ask, so...
I'll go from number 5. It's going to be Fast 6. It was a lot of fun. Number 4, Star Trek Into Darkness. Number 3, Pacific Rim. 2, The Wolverine. Number 1, Man of Steel.
Man of Steel is your favorite movie this summer, huh?
Yeah, it's I like the grittiness of the slightly darker edge with the character. The emotion that was put into it, the Kevin Costner scene just about had me in tears. Of course, the fight scenes and all that stuff was just fantastic. I like the loner Clark Kent, the kind of drifter type deal.
Yeah.
I like that aspect to him. It was just very well done. Huge A-list people doing very, very small supportive roles, and just all around fantastic job. If this is the launching pad for Justice League and Batman, et cetera, DC, Warner Brothers, they're going to have a lot of money on their hands.
That kind of does beg a question, but I'll save it for the end.
All right.
Well, thanks for bringing it up now.
Thanks for bringing it up now. Dramatic.
Well, this
pause.
Is so you can remind me, because I will forget that I have this question.
All right, Scotty, what is your top 5? And you don't have to go as lightning fast as Brian. You can explain all 5 if you like.
Okay.
Or you can just whip through them. I don't care.
Well, my number 5 was Pacific Rim. I liked it, but not quite as much as some other ones that I did. Number 4 is going to be a surprise, and I'm going to get a lot of crap for it, but Despicable Me 2. I seriously laughed a lot in that movie. I thought
you're
it was really funny.
You're not
going to
get any crap for it. Man, you're always so worried about what people
No, I know, I know. Number 3, World War Z. That movie, I'm the one that was hyped about that movie and wasn't buying into the rewrite crap on that one. If you remember, I was positive about that. I couldn't wait to see it. I was stoked about it, and I was actually...
You're Nostradamus, Scotty, yeah.
Yes, for one time I get it. Number 2, Man of Steel. I was surprised by my enjoyment of that movie. I want to stand up and cheer kind of movie. Mm-hmm. Number 1, Star Trek Into Darkness. That's the only movie I think I saw this summer that I saw in the theater twice, I believe.
Nice.
And I saw it once in the really expensive IMAX theater down in... I drove to Batavia to go see it. And, well, sorry for those that aren't from here. I drove a good 45, 50 minutes to go see that movie.
Was it worth it?
It was.
Yeah.
It was really worth it. 3D. Oh, it was awesome. So.
All right. Well, before we get to Justin and his question, don't forget your question. My top 5. I wanted in good conscience to include Fruitvale Station, but I can't. Because it's too much of a message movie. We're the Millers is number 5. We're the Millers is the funniest movie.
Hold on.
Oh, fuck
Why
you.
Is it being a message movie it's, making it not appropriate?
It's not one that I'll watch many more times. Where the rest of my top 5, the rest of the ones that I included are ones I would watch again. So it's hard for me. When I make a top 5 list, I want it to be movies that I would want to watch over and over and over. And that's not one that I would really... It's one that I think is worth mentioning because people should see it. It's an important movie. But you're not going to watch it more than once, that I can imagine. Make sense?
I'll allow that.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. You made it sound like it wasn't a really enjoyable
movie. No, it was a great great. Surprised the hell out of me. Great movie.
No. I'm saying when you reviewed it, you made it sound like it's a good movie, but not a... It's not, in a way, a feel-good movie. It's not.
It's not
fun.
It's not a fun movie. Right. It's a serious topic, and it's a serious event. And the way they played it, it made him not at all what you expect somebody to be in that particular. They didn't glamorize him. They didn't idolize him. They made him a real person. And to me, that's the best kind of those kind of movies. But my top five: We're the Millers, funniest movie I've saw. I think in like 2 years. I laughed my ass off in that movie. Just, it's wrong in so many ways. Jason Sudeikis, he speaks exactly as I think, and that's kind of scary to me. But seriously, go see that movie. You want to know how my brain works? That's exactly what I think 90% of the time. The Conjuring was number 4. Hands down, best horror movie of the summer for me, which is shocking because I have little interest in haunted house movies. I really just don't get into them, but... Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson, great team. I really want to see more of those guys.
Yeah.
And James Wan continues to be my director to watch. Number 3, World War Z, which apparently he's number 3 on everybody's list. I admit it, I was wrong. I was one of those people that said, this is probably going to suck because they reshot the last third of the movie, and it didn't. Brad Pitt proved he owns everybody's ass, and they made a zombie movie interesting again when I have really been sick of it. And they made it into a medical mystery. I thought it was a stroke of genius. Loved it.
Yep.
Number 2, The Wolverine. Hugh Jackman and his abs. Fantastic. Every time he's on screen, I felt a little gay. And I'm okay with it. I just felt a little tingle. But he's just, I think he's like an exceptionally multi-talented actor. And I just love the evolution he keeps bringing to the character. What?
Just let it happen. Don't fight it.
Just relax.
Just take it. That's all right.
Just bite the pillow.
Just bite the pillow.
What it's there for, man.
Anyway, I love that movie. That movie, that one and my number 1 were so close together, it took me a long time to figure out which one I like more. Because I love Wolverine and Jackman. And in the next one, I hope he sings. I'm fine with that at this point. Let Wolverine sing. I don't care.
That would be awesome.
It would be. I think it would actually be cool.
And the X-Men musical, I'm down.
You know why I liked it so much? Is because, and this is probably the reason why some people didn't like it, is it wasn't steeped in all that X-Men mythology. Right. Like, mm-hmm. The X-Men movies have all those characters and all those mutant powers going on. This one was very, it was steeped in realism. That's why it worked so much for me. I wanted a movie just focused on him. And number 1... made me cry, and I don't cry. I actually cried in this stupid movie. Star Trek Into Darkness. And I know some of the fans keep saying that you didn't like it because it played with your precious little Star Trek mythology and it tweaked some of the events that you're familiar with. And here's how much I care. And you can't see it, but I'm holding up a big fat 0. I love the movie. It was fun. It was emotional. It was involving. And it was the most interesting movie of the year for me. So far, and the only film I honestly would have peed myself before I missed a second of it.
Yeah.
I loved it. Loved it. So there you go. Justin.
Nice.
Top 5.
All right. My number 5, This Is the End. I apparently liked this one more than all of you guys did. There wasn't a single performance in the movie that I didn't enjoy. Laughs. I felt like I was just guffawing every minute. It went places I could never have expected it to go. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I finally laughed my ass off in the theater, and it feels like it's been a good long while. Number 4 is The Conjuring. It's so good, and it does so much with so little. And I'm actually kind of mad now that I didn't give Best Villain to that fucking doll.
Oh, that creepy
little doll. The creepiest doll I have ever seen in my life.
And why would anybody buy that doll for their kid in the first place?
You have to be a sick bastard to bring that home to your
child.
Here,
little Molly, how do you like this one? Ah!
Yeah, I would like to see more of the investigations that the Warrens went into. We don't need Amityville Horror again.
No.
But I'm sure there are plenty of them. That would make for an interesting film. Number 3, Pacific Rim. That movie kicked my ass up and down the theater. It was nothing but geek joy. Every frame, geek joy. Number 2, Man of Steel. I really wish this would have been my favorite movie of the year. It was my most anticipated of the summer. My most anticipated of the summer, easily. And as hyped as I was for it, I was scared that they were going to fuck it up. And when I saw it twice in theaters. I was so thankful that they didn't fuck it up. And in fact, they really knocked it out of the park. It wasn't quite as good as I wanted, but it was loads better than it could have been. And I cannot wait to own it on Blu-ray, or at least on digital high def, because it is one that I want to return to again and again. And so obviously, as I think two of you other guys have had, number one, Star Trek in the Darkness rocked all the way through. Even the slower moments had character development, had interesting things happening. It was good from beginning to end. I saw it three times in theaters. I never do that. But this film was good enough. Cumberbatch owned the screen every time he was on it. The lens flares, I loved them, drank them in with my eyes. And it really, this movie alone made me even more hyped for the next Star Wars movies than anything else could have, because it was damn near a Star Wars movie. Fuck you, Trekkers, who didn't like it. I loved it.
I really don't get some of the complaints.
Fuck them. They're just because geeks, a certain segment of geeks, like to sit on their little toilet thrones and act like they're just the king of the interwebs with their fucking opinions. Oh, and I just want to just taint punch every single one of them.
Taint punch.
Where's I'm a Trekker from way back, and I loved it.
Seriously, I was actually shocked when you go into forums and this one, people keep saying how it's a rape of Star Trek. Now, granted, I only watched the original series and the original movies. I didn't like Generation. I didn't watch any of the other ones. So I guess I'm not an aficionado, but I thought it was a fun-ass movie. What's wrong with making Star Trek fun? Is that a crime or something? It has to pretend to be smarter than everybody else?
No. And any of these people that want to act like, and I've said this before, I'll say it briefly again. People who want to act like Star Trek is some kind of brainy activity in the movie theaters, go watch those movies again. They're not the Mensa exercises you guys seem to think they are.
Go watch the whale one again.
Jesus.
I love the movie, but it's fucking cheesy. Cheesy as hell.
It is.
Computer. Oh, computer. Speaking into a mouse. Come on.
And some of the stuff that's not in the format, but I'm just curious, is there any movie that stuck with you like, I want a sequel to this now? Like now.
Pacific Rim, Pacific please. Rim. Please. Please.
Really? Why is that?
Yes.
You know what I want to know? That's the movie that's getting the most internet buzz from fanboys and stuff. But it's not getting the rave reviews. Like, it's not being picked number one by anybody.
Well, of course not. It's big robots fighting big lizards.
But I'm saying, why is that the movie? All four of us just picked our favorite movie. Not one of us picked Pacific Rim. So why is that the movie you guys want to see a sequel to so bad?
For me, because it engages that deepest geeky part of my brain.
Yep.
Not all the higher functions. You know, all the things that something like Star Trek or Man of Steel would engage. This went right to my inner, you know, five-year-old kid that had Godzilla toys and had robot toys and imagined what this could be. It titillated the child in me. It pleased it. And I want more, 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 more.
I feel the exact same way. It's a movie that made me feel like a kid again. And I don't get that excited about movies as much anymore. Obviously, I like some other ones better, but like the ones that I had higher, I know we're going to get sequels of. I know we're going to get more Star Trek. I know we're going to get more Despicable Me. I know we're going to get more Man of Steel. You know, this one, that one might not happen, and I want that one. The one you can't have is the one you want.
Oh,
it's kind of an underdog.
Yeah, I just wanted that whole universe expanded.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, you can recast Charlie Hunnam or kill him off or something. I'm fine with that. But yeah, I mean, I want more Jaegers, you know. We'll find out, you know, do maybe load up a truckload of them and drive to that portal and go kick some ass on their turf for a change. I don't know. I don't care. I love that. That's what I think of when I think of big summer blockbuster movies. And it's unfortunate. It's, you know, I'm sorry, but it's special effects. It's pretty pictures and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I'd want to see World War Z a sequel. I'd rather have a sequel to that than anything.
See, I was happy with that. I liked that ending.
I liked it, but it's one of those where I would like to see more of that story. Just the way that they did it, I would love to see more of that.
Do you think it would resonate the same, though? Because it was more like we weren't expecting that
Oh, I think, I think it would. It just, it's one of those movies that I love medical mysteries, and that's exactly how it played out. And to me, that's just fascinating. I just love seeing, you know, something happen and it causes an apocalypse or abomination, whatever. How did that start? And trying to get to that root cause and continuing that to try to find out exactly what the cause of that to me is really interesting. So I'm a sucker for that. That's why I loved House too. So
now my question though,
oh, I forgot. Justin has a question.
I actually wrote it down so I couldn't forget. Do you guys think that Man of Steel is as good a franchise starter as Iron Man was?
Ooh. Brian, you picked it. You go first.
I think it is, but I think it's for different reasons. I believe Iron Man was a brick that they laid down for a foundation. I think they had a master plan before, you know, while Iron Man was being made. I think Man of Steel was being made and it was kind of, well,
if it works,
we can do this. If it doesn't work, we can do that. And if it's kind of in between, maybe we can work it this way or something. I don't know. I don't know if, because I think Iron Man was specifically designed to lay the groundwork for the Avengers and was a masterful plan that was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Man of Steel, while there were some very subtle, maybe foreshadowing, maybe setting things up with like Wayne Enterprises satellite, you know, LexCorp, you know, trucks or whatever being around, that kind of stuff. I don't know. I think it's I think it is just as well as Iron Man. I just think it's just for different reasons.
Hmm. I can go with that.
My answer is I don't think it's as good a franchise starter, but it is probably the one movie I can say actually saved a series. Because I think if this movie didn't work, you wouldn't see another Superman movie for 25 years.
Right.
Probably so.
No. And it did do that because I'm not a huge Superman fan because he just got, I mean, I was back, you know, back when he first came out, but he's gotten two goody two shoes and everything else. And they made that hero relevant, which that was quite a feat, honestly.
It's fair
at
to
least
call it,
a single bound.
Is it fair to call Man of Steel a franchise starter though? Because I mean,
well, yeah, cause it's basically starting it over. Well, Batman Begins is a franchise starter. Save that franchise.
And I was talking more of the franchise being the Justice League.
I see what you're saying.
And I think Brian got what I was saying because he talked about that. But yeah, do you think it's as good at setting up the eventual Justice League as Iron Man was setting up for the Avengers?
Then I would say no. Not even close. Me personally, no. I don't think you've got as strong as a performer, which they, if they wouldn't have had Downey Jr., I don't think Avengers would be where it is. At all. I don't even know if it would have happened.
Yeah.
So
I kind of agree.
The acting is the biggest portion, and I think special effects sold Man of Steel more than the acting, whereas I think the acting sold Iron Man. And that got people invested into it, brought it to the world.
Ah, see, I can kind of see what you're saying, but I think Cavill did, he didn't do nearly as good a job as Downey did, but I think the people he was surrounded with did phenomenal jobs. Russell Crowe shocked me with how good his Jor-El was. I really liked Jonathan Kent, played by Kevin Costner. I liked the woman who played his mom. I actually liked Lois Lane in this. I didn't think I was going to. I think there were more quality players in this one than Iron Man had. Because really, Iron Man had Downey, who did a really good job. And then everybody else, they didn't have enough part to do much, and they didn't do much with their parts.
Except for Pepper Potts.
A little bit there, yeah.
She gave the heart.
I'll give you that
she
one.
She gave you the heart.
What about Rowdy in there? Rody?
Yeah, Rody.
She just wasn't in it enough.
Did you guys miss Terrence Howard, by the way?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Now that we're in Iron Man 3 and it's done, do you wish it would have been Terrence Howard the whole time?
I kept wishing it was him the whole time.
Yes.
And nothing against Don Cheadle. I like Don Cheadle a lot, but
He doesn't strike me as badass military guy.
Right.
He never has.
I like Terrence Howard much better than
me too.
Don Cheadle. I think he just wanted too much money. Did you guys have a favorite moment from the summer before we wrap up? Like, not just I saw a movie and that was the coolest thing. I mean, like, you went with somebody and something special happened, or it was just, this is a great memory for me. Anybody have a good one?
Me and my brother going to see Man of Steel together. It was really nice, just the two of us, to go see the premiere, the Walmart special episode of it. It was fun.
Oh, the hee-haw group.
Mm-hmm.
For me, probably, you guys know I like to see comedies in the theater with people. I saw We're the Millers with a pretty full theater with a buddy of mine, and I just love laughing in the theater with people, and that was a perfect one to do it.
Brian?
Just walking, that feeling of walking out of a few of these movies this summer, and you got a bounce in your step, you're going, God, that was such a good freaking movie. You know, it was fun. It was fun or I laughed, whatever. You know, maybe just the whole package there. It happened, I don't know, 3 or 4 times at least.
That feeling summer. Where you want to turn around and walk right back in the theater and see the next showing of the same movie.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you get in your car, you're driving home, and you're like, damn, you remember that, you know, when so-and-so did this and bam, you know, and all that, you know, and you're just kind of reliving these scenes with the movie. It was just, that happened, you know, and maybe that's just really kind of goes back to the testament of this, you know, this summer's batch of movies. That happened at least 4 or 5 times this, you know, this summer. So, God, yeah, that would probably be the thing that comes to mind for me.
I would absolutely agree with that. I look through my reviews and for a minute I'm like, man, I just like everything. But it's not that. I just think, because if you look back even further, you'll see that's not true. It's just a matter of, this has been one of those summers, one of the rare summers I can think of, where most of the movies I've seen, and I see a lot of movies that I don't want to see. So it's not just that I, like Justin said, I'm only seeing stuff I want to see. I see just about everything.
You jump on those grenades for us. Yeah, we appreciate that.
I do. And this summer, I liked most everything. I mean, the majority of what I saw was either, it was at least okay, or it was fantastic. I mean, it was somewhere in the middle. There weren't too many that made me wish I had not paid.
Right.
And as far as memories, Fruitvale Station, actually, it was really nice to go see that one, because it was a group, it was a mix of white and blacks. And there was actually a dialogue afterward about what was going on in it, and that was actually pretty cool to be part of that, because nobody was getting all sensitive. It wasn't like Trayvon Martin and shit like that. It was people having a real conversation about what happened, and to me, that is more, that will get more done in the world than all the screaming and yelling people want to do. So that was really nice to be part of, and going to see The Conjuring with my mom, because she doesn't leave the house anymore. She canceled on me like 8 times.
Really?
I was starting to think she just, yeah, it was me. Which we know it couldn't possibly be it. So, but that was pretty nice.
You know what this summer didn't have, though?
What's that?
Rock of Ages 2. Come on.
You
think, come on, Scotty, fist bump.
Oh, yep.
You think that's ever going to happen?
Hell no.
Scotty just fist bumped the mic.
Yep, good. I need more Tom Cruise singing.
Oh, man. All right, well, guys, you guys have anything, parting words for the hoes?
Bring on Thor 2.
Yeah, what are you guys looking forward to most this winter?
I got to tell you right now, RoboCop.
Oh, yeah, that looks pretty good.
Looks kind of cheesy, but cheesy good.
Looks good cheesy.
Yeah. Good cheesy.
Doesn't look any less cheesy than the original.
I think I'm looking forward to Monuments Men the most right now. Just because it's a premise that's kind of unique. And it's got George Clooney.
I can't.
And Gravity. Gravity's getting rare.
I would have to say Lord of the Rings, because it's Lord of the Rings and it's got Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You mean The Hobbit. And by that, you mean The Desolation Whatever. Of Smaug.
The Smaug.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one.
Oh. All right. There's a lot of movies coming. We're still going to be here reviewing them, hopefully. So stick around, guys. So thanks to Scotty, Brian, and Justin. Thanks, guys, for coming.
My pleasure.
Thanks for having.
Remember, their emails, if you ever want to email them directly, Scott@thehollywoodoutsider.com, Justin@thehollywoodoutsider.com, Brian@thehollywoodoutsider.com, or Aaron@thehollywoodoutsider.com.
And I have to say this, because I get this mix up a lot. It's Brian with an I.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Seriously?
Seriously?
America. Oh, my God. Seriously?
America. A lot of people spell Brian with a Y. That's wrong. I don't.
That's wrong.
Even if your name is Brian with a Y, just let you know your parents messed up.
They didn't love you. They didn't love you enough.
Exactly.
Brian, wasn't Brian Cranston spell his with a Y?
Yeah, but he's wrong. That's what Brian just said. And his parents didn't love him.
Exactly.
That's why he's Breaking Bad all the time. All right. Thanks again.
That's why he's Heisenberg.
Thanks again for listening to The Hollywood Outsider. Email us your favorites at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com or 818-814-6246. You can text us, 818-814-6246. And we'll mention them on next week's show. You can hear us on iTunes, Stitcher, or at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Thanks again, guys. And remember, the next time you go to a theater,
buy Satan's cock.
Buy popcorn.
He will butter that popcorn.
God!